podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
And it's John Gibbons from the Anfield Rep, and I'm joined over Zoom by Matt Parrish from the LFC Foundation. With quite sad news, first of all, Matt, when we spoke a few months ago in the start of lockdown, we were talking about the Legends game and how it'd been postponed, but the hope was that it would be rearranged perhaps in 2021. Now, it looks like, and from what I can gather, that it's just proved a little bit too difficult to arrange a time to get all these amazing footballers in one place at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, it is sad in some ways, John, but I think ultimately it was just a case of once the Premier League games have been, you know, refunds have been issued to fans, I think we just felt rather than wait, it was better to make the decision to cancel it. I mean, to be clear, we still hope to get it played in 2021. It's just because we don't yet know what the gaps will be. It's likely to be quite a crowded fixture schedule, I think, isn't it, next season? Touch wood, you know, fans getting back in the stadium sometime soon, and then we can start to look at it properly. But I think, you know, we even did semi-consider thinking about doing a sort of behind closed doors one and televising it. But I think ultimately the Legends game is about that sort of family event and getting everyone in. So it doesn't work until we know we can get fans in the stadium, basically.
And for the foundation, you know, for the fans who's going, it's sad that the ones who bought the tickets, you know, everyone was looking forward to it. But in terms of, you know, the foundation itself, it's a massive poll for you, isn't it? It's a huge fundraiser for everything you do. It's the flagship event, almost, the kind of the showpiece.
Yeah. I think the best way I could describe how we work, John, is we've got two funding streams. One is the sort of, if you like, the restricted money that we get through grants, which we deliver at our community delivery projects across Merseyside, and then our fundraising, of which the Legends, as you say, is the centrepiece of that. It's the primary event that allows us to, yes, deliver some of our own projects, but also, perhaps more significantly, fund other partners in Merseyside and beyond. So, from last year's game, we were able to support the Owen McVeigh Foundation, Zoe's Place, work with Radio City Cash for Kids, and that alone, the Cash for Kids programme, allowed us to support 70-odd organisations across Merseyside, and they work with 20,000 young people. So it's the extra work it enables us to do to make a real impact across the Liverpool City region. And that's what's frustrating. It's just not being able to do that. It doesn't matter who you are, if you wipe £1 million income off of a budget, it has some impact. So it has meant we've had to hold back on some project work we'd like to have done and some partnership work we'd like to have funded. Fortunately, some of the projects that we funded that are multi-year programs haven't been impacted. We've been able to protect those. But yeah, that's why it's important for us to try and get it in the fixture list again as soon as we can.
So refunds are available now, and people just need to go into their accounts online and apply for those refunds. But you're also asking people to consider whether they'd maybe donate part of that money or the money in full to the foundation. There's two reasons, obviously, people go to these games. It's to enjoy the football. It's to enjoy being part of Anfield. It's the family day out, as you say. But people also, you know, do want to support the foundation, and Liverpool fans are rightly proud of what the foundation's become and, you know, and what they do, especially during lockdown. You know, it's been incredible. And so this is an opportunity for people, and it's obviously based on need. And, you know, some people have found it tough financially during lockdown and could do with the money in the pocket, and that's completely understandable. But for others, they might think, well, actually, you know, I would quite like to still show my support for foundation either in some way. And there's opportunity for both, isn't there?
Yeah, I might need to get you to answer more questions, John. No, I think you hit the nail on the head. I mean, ultimately, we recognise that, you know, it's tough, and for people, if they want the refund, that's fine. You know, you can get a full refund. Having that money in the pocket it might help. If people are able to and they choose to make the donation, either part of what their ticket cost price was or all of. What we've decided is, rather than have that wider spectrum of programs, we feel that there's going to be certain needs in our city region which we can help with, and we think those things are, unfortunately, food poverty, mental health, and unemployment. I read somewhere this morning that I think in the last few days, I mean, this is a national stat, admittedly not Merseyside specific, but 10,000 jobs have been cut just in the last few days of this week. And I think there's talk that up to a million, the estimation is that up to a million young people will be unemployed by the end of the year. We know, unfortunately, as we've talked before about it, John, having my accent's the giveaway, but not having grown up in Liverpool, but it's an amazing place to live and grow up, bring your kids up and raise a family. But we have some challenges here, and one of them is unemployment. And food poverty is also, you know, depressingly a reality in our communities. And I think that's only going to be intensified by COVID-19. So what we're saying is if fans do want to donate that money, then we guarantee that all of it will be used across those three areas. It's not, I think sometimes people worry when donating to a charity, it's going to pay the chief exec my role salary or something like that. As I always say, as important as that is, it's not used for that. We're going to focus. Our trustees have said, look, they've gone to us and said, right, what's the priority areas that we can impact on? We feel though that those are the three priority areas, and all donations we receive will be used for that. On the food poverty side, we'll work closely with the Red Neighbours team have built up, and the club have built up an amazing relationship with Fans Supporting Food Banks and St Andrews Network over the years. Anyway, fans will all know about the Fans Supporting Food Bank van that's there every home game for our home games and Everton's, and we'll work closely with St Andrews Network. We want to try and support them to open community pantries. They call them your local pantries across North Liverpool and the city. And we want to try and fund those. So that money will go straight to them. You know, we're not experts in dealing with food poverty, but we feel we can help, and we know that it has a resonance with the fans anyway. And the donations that they receive on a regular match day are unbelievable. Obviously, they're not happening at the moment. So there's two elements to the food poverty, really. If we can support a bit with some of that immediate crisis to replace some of those donations, and then also if we can work with them to help develop the your local pantry idea, which is a sort of is a more sustainable longer term model, and I think it gives people that use the pantries a bit of a dignity of choice. So it's a membership club in a sense. People pay a small amount, 2-3 quid a week, and they get to choose shopping, and also it's got a business plan behind it, so that it becomes self-financing. But there's set up costs, etc. So, and then the mental health and unemployment work, again, that'll be largely about foundation staff delivering support programs locally and working with other local partners. I think, unfortunately, we've all been impacted by COVID-19 in some way. Young people, you know, especially, and I think mental health is a bit of is obviously an issue. We don't yet know what impact it's going to have on people as we come out of this. But again, we feel we can help and we can support. We're not professing to be mental health experts, but what we do feel we can do is engage. We can support young people, and we can provide signposting where necessary.
I was reading something, I think it was in The Observer, just before the football returned, and they were interviewing fans from each club throughout the Premier League about the return and about how they felt about it. But there was one question about how proud are you of your football club, in terms of, well, what do you think of what your football club and what they've done during the break? And it was really interesting. So many of them were proud, and we're saying, you know, we've done really good stuff. And you know, I hear obviously a lot about what Liverpool are doing because I live in the city and because I'm a supporter and I'm interested. But up and down the country, it was really interesting to see the majority of fans, you know, saying that what their club had done. And you know, it might just be little things like keeping in touch with people who were sheltering with older fans or whatever, or some sort of large scale things as well. But it really struck me how it's become very important to all of us as football fans, kind of what our clubs do extra than just on the pitch. And obviously for all these supporters, you know, they were pleased with what kind of, you know, what clubs meant in their community and the responsibilities that they took. And it has become, you know, we talk about modern football sometimes as sort of a negative thing, but this is one of the sort of the positives of modern football, if you like, this kind of, it seems to me, greater ownership on clubs to kind of do more and greater kind of responsibility to do more, I guess.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I've said before when we started, John, I count myself to be incredibly fortunate to have worked in the community and charity side of football clubs for over 20 years. since I was five, obviously. And to see football step up in the way it has been amazing, and I'm sort of proud of being part of that from a football perspective. I think from a Liverpool perspective, especially so. I think, but from both fronts, I think it's because clubs generally already have those connections and already doing that work. And I think what those partnerships, existing partnerships, has enabled that work to continue. And if anything, step up and perhaps focus on real areas where we can support during this time. I think the other thing is, it doesn't sound like a political thing, but because of austerity over, recent years or last decade or whatever it is, a lot of the old traditional services have been clobbered, haven't they? And I think football club foundations and charities have kept going, and in some respects are often sometimes last men standing in terms of some of those services. So therefore, I think being able to support and work with partners, what we try and do is try and work in partnership, and we try and bring what we do best to that partnership, and then support others around us. And I think that's what a lot of clubs have done during this time. I see one of my jobs is to create a foundation that our fans and supporters are proud of. I think we're getting there. I'm not saying we're perfect. I think there's more we can do, but I think in this, I do feel like we've stepped up during this period. It's, and I'm really proud of the staff, but also across the club, John, we've had something like 150 club staff have volunteered, and that's including staff that can't go out and volunteer in the community. So they've worked on LFC Connect, or they've made gift packs for hospitals. We've had guys supporting at the food banks. We've had people walking dogs. We've had, there's been gardening, growing, but one of them was beetroot pickling, which was an unusual one. But it was, there's been a real, really stepped up. But it's been, across Merseyside, ourselves, Everton, Tranmere, we've all done some great work. And we've actually worked in partnership with Tranmere over on the Wirral too. We provided some staff for some of their projects. The Anfield Stadium team provide a chef once a week to go over to Tranmere to help with them preparation of their meals. So, and I think that's the key, John. It's been a club effort. Paul Cuttle and the stadium team there, they're providing us with 1,000 meals a week, to go out. I think it's something like 15,000 meals have gone out already. That's not insignificant. And I think but it's, I suppose in a way, it's not a big thing. Everyone, and that's the difference. Every club has stepped up to some level, to some degree. That's the important thing. Be it Stevenage, be it Burnley, Charlton, West Ham, Liverpool. Everyone has stepped up to agree, and I think that's the important thing. And I think hopefully, that will continue as we come out of this as well.
Yeah, you must be really proud of your team, Matt, and how they've worked. Because I'm lucky to know quite a lot of them now, and it's working under very difficult circumstances, isn't it? Suddenly the need has grown, yet your ability to help's almost kind of hindered by the fact that we are all, working from home. We are all not able to sort of get out there as much, and so it's this sort of, double-edged sword, really, of increased need for what you do, and then sort of decreased ability to kind of to get out there.
And I think I think by definition, to work in this sort of job, our team have to be people, and that's about contact and engagement and the little sort of conversations you can have. And when our coaches and youth workers are working, it's with young people, it's about informal learning, and that's harder, and in some ways harder when we're working in this way. But I think we've done really well in terms of getting a lot of our content online and available virtually. So pretty much all of our delivery sessions are now available virtually, so young people dial into that. The Red Neighbours team have done the same thing. A big focus of their work is social isolation. So for the guys that normally attend walking football, they've had calls every week, sometimes every day. The chair-based yoga group, that session goes on. I think Heather will tell me off because I've forgotten the figure, but the numbers we've had attending chair-based yoga has gone through the roof, and it's gone for an hour's physical activity session to sometimes 2 or 3 hours, because it's as much about that social contact. So yeah. I think it's the team being as creative as they can to get as much of that content available. And then when we can, what can we do in that volunteering space to still support the local community? And I think the good thing is now, touch wood, we are also starting to plan and blend in some actual physical delivery as well. Obviously, that'll be very staged, but we have been doing some work working with our partners in the police and other youth providers. So doing some detached youth work, which has been going for a number of weeks. It's not something we advertise because we don't want to sell the coaches at this venue. It's more about the coaches going to areas where young people might be gathering and they shouldn't be. So to sort of help, you know, disperse and give positive messages. So there's been lots of work going on, and I'm, you know, amazingly proud of the, as I say, of the foundation staff, Red Neighbours staff, but also, as I said, the club staff have really committed. The amount of contact we had, even in the early days, of before we'd sort of formally put the volunteer instructor in place, what can I do, where can I help, and using their skills that they normally do in the day job, but also getting involved in other things, you know, going down to the, we had, you know, Peter Moore, Susan, Lynn, three members of the exec team go down to the food bank on Wednesday and support. So I think it's been a cross-club effort, which is what's probably been the most pleasing about it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It feels a little bit like we're sort of coming out of lockdown for many people, really. Obviously, the pubs are open today, barbers as well. It must be a sign of my age that my mates are more excited about getting a haircut, to be honest with you, Matt, than they are having a pint. But that's because we're all dads now and things like that. But, you know, it feels like we're sort of getting back to normal, but the knock-on effects for what we've all been through over the last few months are going to be huge, aren't they? And for some, much bigger than others. And often, with any events, you know, or any kind of, you know, thing that happens in society, it's the most vulnerable who are the most affected. And so I guess what I'm saying is that your services are going to be even more vital than ever over the next few months. And for those of us who are fortunate enough to be able to say words like get back to normal, we need to remember that for a lot of people, first of all, their normal wasn't great. And secondly, you know, actually, you know, it's, you know, this is going to be, you know, months, if not even years in terms of the, you know, the repercussions of kind of what's happened.
Yeah. And you've hit the nail on the head, John. I think that some of the communities in across the Liverpool City region are some of the most disadvantaged in the UK. That's where we focus our work ordinarily. Those communities are going to be hit harder. You know, we know that COVID has impacted from a health perspective harder in disadvantaged communities. But when you layer on top of that increased unemployment, increased food poverty, people having less money, increased mental health issues, which, you know, it's all connected. And I think if we can try and help in some small way with that, I mean, the work that the St Andrews Community Network and the North Liverpool Food Banks do is amazing anyway, and is needed anyway, which ultimately is sad, but it's true. They're going to be needed even more now. And if we can help that, if we can, you know, if we can support an unemployed young person to get more skills, to get more training, to get a job, but to feel connected and not isolated as we come out of this. And it's not, you know, 25 quid runs an unemployment and an employability session. So it's probably quite easy maths. And I think the burn for the food bank at the moment, the crisis need piece, is about 10 grand a week. So that's quite a lot. Now, whether that, I must admit, I wasn't sure but they did say pre-lockdown they didn't have to buy that much food because of food donations, obviously at the match and elsewhere, but clearly that's gone down, not just because of the match, but just general people aren't able to give as much. So, you know, that shows what the need is, and that's just the North Liverpool picture. So there is massive need, there will be more need, but I think we can hopefully, on a positive note, us and other partners, other community providers, can help people to get back to some form of normality. And I think that's where our focus has to be in the next, certainly for the rest of this calendar year, focusing on those that need the support most. And even on our traditional schools offer, you know, we don't know what that looks like yet, for instance, but we're already working with the schools to say, right, what's the biggest need going to be? It's probably less for us about delivering in the classroom. It's more about supporting the schools and delivering sport and activity and getting the kids physically active, and let the teachers focus on sort of catching up on the education piece. So I think, you know, for us and partners, I think that real focus on the areas of highest need, there's going to be a lot of need, and you could run around trying to do 20 things badly, which is why we've sort of focused on those three core areas, really, certainly in terms of fundraising and areas we can support.
Yeah. Thanks very much, Matt, for joining us this morning. Just to reiterate, the Legends game that has been now cancelled, you can apply for refunds if you go to my account on your LFC account online, and they're available from yesterday, so available to do that now. But if you can, obviously donate all or part of that money to the foundation so they can continue to offer these services, then they'd be delighted if you can, and it would be really, really appreciated. Matt, thanks very much. Enjoy your day.
Andrew, thanks, John.
Sports Social Podcast Network.